me today. First of all, last week we discussed goges, and we talked about brushing hair. So any cats who shall be named remain nameless. Rabbi, thank you, Jeff.
I've got a
brush. 20 years I'm brushing my hair. 20 years, and I haven't seen a hair in the brush in 20 years. aside from the fact that you have no hair, aside from that fact, so I took the brush and I just looked at it, and. What's that? Wait one second. You can't really get in the picture. What? Wait. I wouldn't do this with somebody else's brush, but Eddie's a very clean guy. Lint? Okay. So even the brush that people claim never pulls out hair, it's impossible. It's impossible. That's the way brushes are. So we learned last week that goses is goses, and the people. So I tried it this past week. Did anybody notice that my hair was like this instead of brushed with a brush?
Nobody wanted it.
So for the women, I'm very sympathetic, and that's why we talked about using the baby brush. That at least you can shape the hair, or at least gives you some help. But for gentlemen, nobody cares what we look like. I mean, to be brutally honest, it's okay. All right, so today I have with me, I have an inch of water. I have shmatis. I have a towel. I have a sponge.
When you come over.
I have paper towels. And I have coffee.
Coffee.
Spill it. What? That's, okay, we'll start with that. Okay, so where am I going with this? We will soon see. So the first thing we're going to do is hand out the sheet. I'm going to take a sheet. Okay. We're going to talk today about the malacha of melabim. Melabim. Let's just look in the Mishnah. We'll let you pass it out. And we're going to take a couple of weeks to do Mohaben, because it's a lot. There's a lot to talk about. Says the Mishnah in Shabbos, chapter 7. So we have the Avos Malachos, so we did a lot of the food ones, if you recall. There's one that we have to go over, so that remember what dush was? Do you remember from last year? Anybody remember what dush was? No, that's lush. Dash is?
Threshing.
What is threshing? Very good. Do you remember what it was? You ringing a bell? Very good.
Yeah, separating
the good from the bad. Right, removing. Right, so remember, one of the things about dash was squeezing the fruit was dash, because you wanted to get the juice out. Another thing was breastfeeding, remember we talked about, was dash. Things that are trying to remove something from its original form. Another one we talked about was the possibility of squeezing something like a cloth or something like that. We're going to talk about that, but that's a different. We're going to talk about it from a different perspective. So just remember dust. So skip down to here we are. Hagozes, third line. So now we're in the order of clothing, of cloth. Okay. Hagozes es hachemer. So one who shears. The wool, we learned that, right? What are you shearing wool for? In order to make the cloth, in order to make the mishkan. Now, as soon as you shear wool, what's the next thing you have to do in order to make it usable? No.
You have to clean it. You have to clean it.
What? Before the brushing? Bleaching it. Why do you have to bleach it? Now, it's not just because it looks. They say it's full of smuts. They say that after you shear the wool, and once you're done, all you have left is probably, they say, two-thirds to a half the weight of the original wool you had after you wash it. Because most of it is dirt and oil and smuts and garbage like that. So washing it, melabein, is called bleaching. Okay? What is the process of bleaching wool or bleaching anything? What's involved in the process?
Soaking.
Soaking. Okay.
Squeezing it out.
Drying.
Wait. Soaking. I got squeezing. What else?
Stretching it out.
Rubbing.
What's that?
Rubbing.
That's very good. Those are the three elements of washing something. And we're going to see that each of those elements has a role and is forbidden as part of the Malacha of Shabbos. So today we're going to talk about soaking. But soaking is one of the forms of libun. And Allah is going to teach us that soaking, by definition, is something that makes something from unclean to clean. So I thought I'd first just try it. Okay? Just going to... move the glue thing? Well, I put it here for a reason. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to put in a little Tide. Okay? Liquid Tide. Okay? I'm going to move this around a little bit. Now we're going to take our coffee-stained thing and just put it in there. And we'll leave it there for a while, and we'll see what happens. And I'm not rubbing it, I'm not squeezing it, I'm not doing anything. What's that? And this is not an advertisement for Tide. What? Okay. So how do I know that soaking something is forbidden? And we're going to see that it's not just soaking, it's wetting in any form. Okay, we're getting something wet. Soaking an item is going to be something that's not permitted on Shabbos. So says the Gemara. This is a Gemara in Zvachim. Okay? So it was talking about a case of, let's say you had something that became dirty. Okay? So the Gemara says, Utnad. There's a mission that says, we're seeing with the Gemara number 2 on the top. Haita shel or. Let's say you had something of or. Or means skin, leather. Right? Then, noshen aleha mayim achetichla. Let's say your shoe gets dirty. So the question is, can I put water on the shoe in order to clean it off? So the answer is, yes. Right, because the shoe is hard leather. But let's say, for example, I've got my suit here, right? So I got a little schmutz on the suit. So our natural inclination is to take a little towel, dab it, okay, and just get off the schmutz. That you're not allowed to do. That's malabe. That's clearly malabe. And our instinct is to do that on Shabbos. You know, you got something on your suit or whatever. So that's what the Gemara says.
Rabbi, going back to the shoe, you can't put the water on a cloth though.
Oh, no. You can't. We're going to talk about that also. Okay. So you can put your, let's say, for example, you got a puddle. You got schmutz in the, you know, so you can put your foot, you can put your shoe in the puddle or whatever it is and get the schmutz off. You can't scrub it. We're going to see also. El Amar Rava says, "Kol kibush deles le kiskus lo shme kibush." So he says, any type of kibush of washing that doesn't have scrubbing, that's not considered washing. So that's the reason why you're allowed to put your shoe in the water, is because you're not scrubbing it. But scrubbing it, you would not be allowed to do. The Gemara says, "Hey, v'had Amar Rav Chia Bar Ashi." Rav Chia Bar Ashi said, "Rav Chia said, zimnin shagiyin number of times, hava ka'amina de Rav. I was in front of Rav." The shachshichei lei misane. Shachshichei means he used to soak, you know, move around his shoes. He would want to get the schmutz off his shoes. So the Gemara says, the maya, water. The Gemara says, shichshuch in. Shaking it, soaking your shoe, you could do. Aval kibush lo. But washing it, scrubbing it, that you're not permitted to do. So says the Gemara, I berachin ugedivei hakol. So it's a machlokis, and that I'm not going to get into, it's a little bit complicated, about soft leather versus hard leather. So for example, a soft leather jacket, you would not be permitted to soak in the water, because that soaking of the soft leather jacket would be considered washing. But the hard leather, you would be permitted to soak in the water.
Question.
What? Well, I mean, they used to have leather garments, suede garments that... Once you soak it, I think if you get it full, I don't know. I mean, would it kill it? It depends how good the leather is. Today's rate. Yeah.
So what would happen if it's snowing outside?
Yeah.
If you rub your shoe against snow, would that be...
Oh, you mean you have snow on it and you want to rub it to clean off the shoe?
You walked and there was a puddle, there was mud.
Right.
And as you're walking, you see a pile of snow.
To take the water and take
the
snow?
Take the water, you're walking through it and you rub your shoe with the mud against the snow. Would that be...
The snow's in the ground. Then you're scraping the snow off.
Right.
But remember, we talked about scraping, and you're not allowed to scrape on the metal grid they had.
Right.
But on the bottom of the snow, yeah, that's okay. I don't think that's a problem. Yeah, I don't think that's a problem. I don't think it's a problem. So Gemara says, last line, this is where it gets really important. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if so, beged nami. Then why can't I take my cloth or my clothing, my item, my garment, and soak that? If I could soak my shoe. So the Gemara says, no. Beged shriyaso zehu kibusa. The act of shriya means soaking is the washing of the garment. That's something important to remember. To soak a garment is an act of washing in and of itself. How do I know that's true? How do I know that's true? Well, I'm about to show you, but aside from that, go to any washing machine, right? What do they recommend? Well, let's see. Procter & Gamble, directions. What?
Soap cycle.
Pre-soap.
Or pre-soaking.
They don't give directions here. How am I supposed to know how to use this? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, you have to go to Tide.com to figure it out. So that's the halacha. The halacha is soaking an item is considered shriyasel. So you'll say, well, I got a little sand on my shirt, a sand on my jacket. I'm just going to put a little water on. I'm not going to touch it. Well, why did you put the water on? To get the stain out. Shriyasel zehu kibuso. So that's, and that is either, if it's stained, probably the oraita. And if it's not stained, it's a derabanan. So what's the answer if you got stain on your jacket? You got a new jacket. You're going to switch the jacket. Okay? Page two. Page two, please. Stained stick? That's where the stain stick would be the problem. Dab? How would you dab? Now remember, the dabbing... The stain stick, by the way, doesn't work unless it's in the... It's, the stain stick, if I understand, somebody will tell me, it's a protein or a base or whatever it is, and then when it mixes in the water, then it helps to loosen the stain. The stain stick is not going to do anything for you without.
No, but if theoretically you should do it right away when you get the stain, so that
ruin a nice piece of gold.
You can't do it on later on.
Oh no, I don't think you can
so
do it.
Knock over a.
That's like using stick deodorant. Remember that would be the rubbing that we talked about. What's that?
So when you spill wine.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that. Very good. Excellent question. We're going to talk about that soon. What's that? About what?
You knock over the wine and you're nice careful.
Right.
You either use plastic or you leave the wine stain there. So that's the shot.
Well, yeah, that's exactly correct. We're going to talk about how to handle that. What? Well, we're going to talk about that. Those are very important things. Yeah, Jerry.
I guess I'm bothered by this because it's just so kind of dry. What about something that might... really decrease your enjoyment of Shabbos?
Such as
you fall in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And your clothes are all muddy and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
You're going to shul.
And you don't have any other clothes to wear. You still can't wash them. There's still nothing, you know. People used to come to me and say, it's a very good question, but they used to come to me and say, Rabbi, what if I had a choice of either driving to shul on Shabbos and appreciating the shul and having a good Shabbos, or staying home and I'm stuck at home on Shabbos? So what's the answer? The answer is no. Live close to the shul. Yeah, it has to be stay home. There's Shmir Shabbos. So you'll say, you know, sometimes, very often we're challenged by what our notion of enjoying Shabbos is. It's a challenge. It's very hard. You know, last week's shiur, it's hard. It's a struggle. But that's a challenge of appreciating that this is something that the rabbis prohibited, and the fulfillment of Shmira Shabbos, ensuring that we keep the Shabbos, that allows us to have a better appreciation of what Shabbos is. So that's not easy. I don't think that's easy. Sometimes it does affect your ability to enjoy Shabbos. But, you know, what can you do? We're limited by what the Torah prohibited us from doing. And so, you know, if the mud is all over you, we'll talk about scraping the mud off, the excess mud. But getting it clean, there's nothing you can do. You're just kind of stuck. And that's one of the limitations of the halachas of Shabbos on us. Okay. And so in order to understand this set of halachas, we have to look. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, wrote a hakdama, an introduction. You know, I always find it fascinating. You should just know. The Shulchan Aruch is the code of Jewish law. The Shulchan Aruch is at the top. Right? So nowadays, we like to have these books, the Shabbos Home, the 39 Halachas, that are all organized in such a way as, you know, in great topics about writing and washing and ramifications. So the more I learn the Shulchan Aruch, the more you realize it also was organized in such a way. It wasn't there to describe to you necessarily each malacha per se, but to describe it was ordered in the way that people live their lives and the things that people do. So the Shulchan Aruch never comes out and says, you're not allowed to wash, because nobody would wash their clothes on Shabbos. But it does list certain events and examples that were listed in the Gemara of things that are not allowed, things that are prohibited. Okay, so in order to really understand the Shulchan Aruch, you have to read the Mishnah Berurah, the Hakdama, the introduction. I'm sorry, I didn't have time to photocopy the English. I'm on page 2, source number 3, where it says Mishnah Berurah. See where it says Mishnah Berurah? Okay. He says, Hinei, kidei leva'er et divrei elu shnei she'ifin, In order to really understand these two si'ifim, these two sections of the Shulchan Aruch, Sarech lahakdim hakdama ktana, I'm going to have to give you a short introduction. The Zohi, and you really have to understand.
It's a short
introduction. Right, it's a short introduction. Okay. Hamalabein hu me abos hamalachos. Malabein, whitening, is one of the abos malachos. Third line. I'm going to put numbers on, so in case anybody else is interested, you can follow along. The libun, this process of whitening, shayach bein bitshemer, ubein bepishtan, ubechol shar minim, shedarchan lehitlabein. It applies to wool and linen, cotton, anything that would be cleaned. It applies to any cloth. The libun, or even leather, we're going to see. The libun mikre, and what is whitening? It's called bechol davar shederech hachemer behapishtan, lehitlabein al yedezeh. Anything that would cause the cloth to become clean. So when they would make, I guess, linen, they would put it in the sun, and then they would pour water on it to whiten it. So he says, "Gamzehu bechlal melabein." That's also called melabein. The shiuro, okay? How much is it? The chutzu aroch arba tzvachim. Take a thread, 4 tzvachim long, and if you whiten the thread that long, That's the minimum shear required. So any piece of cloth that you're going to have is going to have that amount of thread to whiten it. Tzvachim, 4 hand breadths.
Oh,
about a foot, a little more than a foot. Right, so nobody really washes threads, we wash clothing. So it's a very minimal amount. Okay, we're at the base on the line, a 7th line. Hamechabesh begadim, one washes clothing. Harei toldot melabein v'chayah. Washing, that's otolda, a tributary of melabein and yechayim. V'chein hashochatan. You heard that word? What does sochta mean? Anybody know? So shchita? Squeezing. Right, if you squeeze it out. That's also washing. Shchita gamtein mitzarchei kibbutzi. Because in order to wash something, so how does the washing machine work? You soak it, then it agitates it. What's the third cycle? Spins it. Right. It's not clean for two reasons. There's two reasons. If you've ever noticed in the washing machine, and my mom ensured that I washed my own clothes when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. Her attitude was, if you want it done, and you want it done at a certain time, do it yourself. So there's two spin cycles.
Our lady has my own house.
Yeah, good for her. There's two spin cycles. The first spin cycle, if you'll notice, if you'll watch the water, what does the water look like in the first spin cycle? It's soapy. But it's not just soapy, it's dirty. So the first time you squeeze it out, you're removing the negative stuff, you're removing the dirt. Okay. Shaschita gami in Sarka Kibbutz, line 8. The hu adin, the same is true, the same holds, the kibbutz shayach ba'orot harachim. Kibbutz applies to to soft skin, soft leathers. The yesh omim ach the kashin, some even say hard leathers. Ach yesh chiluk bein orot bebeged. There's a difference between skins and cloth. The orot lo mikre kibus achiyeh kibus gamur. For leather, it's not washing until you're really washing it. Remember we saw that in the Gemara. Ubebegadim kaimalan ba'begadim, we learned the shriyatam ba'mayim zuhi kibus kibusan. See that line? Shriyatam ba'mayim, soaking them in water, that is washing them. The chayav mishum mechabes. What does chayav mean? Chayav? What kind of libel? When we use the word chayav, de'oraita. That's a de'oraita. That's a pretty serious one. Okay? Because of washing. Lo shna begadim levanim, it doesn't matter if it's white. Lo shna shivuim. Okay? So now, if soaking something in water is a problem, so then we have to know what's considered soaking. So let's just write in, let's see if our experiment works. Okay? How's my coffee stain?
Still there.
What?
I still see it.
You still see it. Is it as dark as it was? Is it as dark as it was?
No.
No. Plus, if you look in the water, you'll notice that the water is now coffee colored. Right? Thank you. Jerry, back me up. Okay? I didn't do anything. I just soaked it, and the soaking itself cleansed the item. Okay, so therefore, not only is soaking is prohibited, obviously, to cleanse something, but the rabbis then would have to prohibit any type of soap in order to prevent you from violating this the oraita. So the question is, what is the level of soaking? Is this my coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoops, oops. That really wasn't it. That's what I want to know. This happens on Shabbos. What do I do? Because you just said, Rabbi, you're not allowed to soak something on Shabbos. So now I got a shmata. What happens?
The tablecloth is rolling around.
And how do you clean it up? You got to clean it up.
You're all over the table.
You don't. No, you're in the middle of what? You're in the middle of dinner. Right? Don't worry, you look good. Right? So, can I do? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that on show?
Yeah.
You said yeah.
How are you going to pick
you said
it up?
Yeah. What?
You don't pick it up.
But then, how do you pick it up?
Wait. We're just talking. What's the problem with picking it up?
This is squeezing.
I'm not talking about squeezing. I'm talking about soaking.
This should be okay. This is whitening. This is darkening.
First of all, this is darkening. Right? This is dark. Okay, let's move on to Mr. Barrett. But you understand now that these are legitimate questions. These are serious questions. Okay? So now we understand that. Vihine. Next line. 1 second. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Right. Line 12, right by the gimel. Okay? In this opinion that we learned that soaking is washing, yesh deos v'poskim. All right, then we're going to, it's a machlokas. There's arguments about what level of soaking is prohibited. Yesh omim, some say, it's only when the shmata is full of coffee, right? I'm going to put it in the water, and I'm going to soak it that way in order to get some dirt out. So that soaking is prohibited. But if there's no dirt, even if it got black from wearing it, like my shirts or something, we never let our clothes get really black from wearing. But they didn't wash their clothes all that often. I don't know how back in the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th century, how often did they wash their clothes? Anybody want to volunteer? Anybody from them?
How did a coal miner get his clothes dirty? How did a coal miner get his clothes clean? You only had to clean clothes.
On the weekday? Not on Shabbos.
Yeah, but he looks so clean.
Okay. So, but if it's not dirty, meaning if it doesn't have a stain, lo mikre kibush ayde shriya levad. It's not considered, then soaking it is not considered washing it. In lo shemechadsa mamesh osa shochet et meinehem. So that opinion says it's not the oraisa unless it really is stained. But mikol makom asur lishrotan midrabanan. You can underline that as well if you want to. Nonetheless, it's forbidden to soak it dirabanan. Why? Because if you soak something, what are you going to do?
Squeeze it.
Fine. The yeshom means some say tafilu ein aleihem klal lichluch klal. Even if they're not dirty at all, amina dishriyatan hu kibusan. Okay, that's the second opinion. The second opinion is, wasn't dirty at all. I have a nice clean towel, but if I soak it, that's called considered kibus. It's considered washing. I call it dafka imhu derech kibus. This is an important point. That's only if it's derech kibus. What's derech kibus mean? The way you wash things. About imhu derech lichluch. But if it's the way you make things dirty, then gon shenata al yada b'mayin u'mekancham b'mapa. So you have a real question. If I'm not allowed to soak a towel, 1 second. So I go, in theory, right? I don't do it with coffee water, but, right? I go before, by the way, see the water? Everyone see the water? Right, just soaking, okay? So I'm going to wash my hands, right? Before I want to make mochi, and then I go like this.
Yeah.
Whoa. 1 second. How can I do that? Can we do that on Shabbos, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing it for thousands of years. You can do it. I'm not taking that away.
Yeah, right.
You're good. Okay. No, don't say it.
On what basis?
Yes. On what basis? So the Mishnah Berurah just told you what basis. This is derech lichluch. When you do this, it makes the towel dirty. It doesn't make the towel clean. So when the rabbis prohibited soaking, so first of all, you're not soaking it. You're getting it a little wet. Although, by the way, when the towel goes through the eighth and the ninth and the tenth person,
question,
yeah, please, I beg you. But other than, if you've ever gone to, has anybody ever been to like yeshiva where they have the Israeli towels. Anybody ever seen the old Israeli towel system? I don't know. I'm sure they still have it. Before they got paper towels, they had the old Israeli towel system. You know what that was? No, no. We have here, we have one of those rolls that you pull down. The old Israeli towel system, it was on a rack, and it was on a round, and it was just a round loop of towel. So you'd kind of pull the loop towards you and wipe your hands, and then the next guy would just, I mean, after five guys, the whole thing was soaking. You know what I'm saying? You ever see those towels?
Yeah. The reason you're allowed to use...
We just stopped using those towels. You ended up wiping your hands with, you know, like paper towels or something.
So Rabbi,
what?
Yeah. The reason you're allowed to wipe your hand in a towel for a Kiddush Adoyim is why?
It's because, that's what he says.
Second,
it's Derech Lichluch. Derech Lichluch means, in this case, the soaking of the towel... When I got my hands wet and now I'm soaking the towel, I'm not doing it in a way that's cleaning the towel. I'm doing it in a way that's dirtying the towel.
Okay, so you can't say this is on the table. You're not doing anything to clean the towel.
Good.
You're doing something to dirty the towel. I'm soaking up the water.
Water? What's that? No, that was coffee. That was coffee. What am I still seltzer?
Same theory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Seltzer's clean.
Yeah. And when I soak up the towel...
But you're making it dirty.
I'm making
the towel. What's the definition of dirty?
It's clean.
What's the definition of dirty?
You don't wash the towel by soaking up stuff.
What?
You don't wash your towels by soaking up...
Oh, you don't wash it. But is that... Okay, we'll talk about that. Very good. Okay. 1 second. Derek Lichluk. Now you wash your hands. The feeling of my am tfuchim harbega. Even if there's a lot of water on your hands. Val yadav. Even so, let's say it's not a big towel, it's a smaller one, and now it's going to get very wet. You can't say that that's cleaning. Why? That's derech lichluchi. Oh, some are more stringent. If you've got a lot of water on your hands, some are very machmir and say, even if it's derech lichluch, if it's a lot of water, if it's too much water, it's going to be shriyata zeh kibusa, even if it's the wrong way. So we're not using the machmer that way. Valkain, heim sobrim, dishinota yada, verota nagvam, b'mapai. They hold it. If you want to wipe your hands, yira lenar yadav. You've ever seen somebody, when they wash their hands, they go like this. Mm-hmm. Why do they go there this way?
Shake off the water.
Why do they want to shake off the water? The towel's not going up?
So you make the towel is wet.
That's right. That's what they say. So you don't make the towel so wet that you're going to soak it in some way.
So how do you get around the whole thing about, in correlation, how do you get around that you're not allowed to swim? You shouldn't swim on Shabbos because you might wipe yourself with the towel, and you're not allowed to wipe yourself with the towel on Shabbos as far as swimming is concerned.
Who said not allowed to help with the towel? There are other problems of swimming outside.
Wringing it out.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Your towel gets that wet that you can wring it out? Try to wring it out.
Then unless you go in the pool.
Unless you throw the towel in the pool.
No.
You have to wring it out?
I don't.
Right.
That should be the excuse they gave.
Well, that's a pretty lame excuse. There are better reasons why you can't go swimming on Shabbos. Right. There is a prohibition of rechitas kol gufo, of bathing your entire body on Shabbos. That was the gzeirah of the Rabbanan. Maybe you'll come to wash and hotter water. Well, we can talk about that another day. There's other reasons why. Right, there are other reasons why. Another issue, which is an interesting example, is now when you dive in with your bathing suit, you're soaking your bathing suit. It's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question. Yes.
Besides everything else, you have
ladies
that's worried about
going to the mikvah Friday night. That's right. All right, I'll give you another proof. Women go to the mikvah on Friday night. They're toweling off, I hope. I mean, especially in the wintertime. I mean, in the summer they can, you know, air dry, but in the wintertime, it's freezing outside. You know, you have to towel off to some degree.
What about the
shower? Men go.
How about the men? When they go to the
mikvah? They don't have to. Women have to.
They still go.
Okay.
So they still
walk. Right. So towels is not the problem. There are other problems. Okay. So that is our introduction to understand that Shriya, soaking something, is a prohibition that we have to be aware of. Okay. So now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll hopefully understand some of it. So that's what he says. Mutar, we see where it says test, number test. Mutar litein mayim agabe min'av nishach shecha. You're allowed to put water on your shoe in order to just like rinse it off. Remember we say to pour water on your shoe? Aval lechavso, but to wash it, to hainu, what does that mean? Shemishafshef chido alzeh, right? Mishafshef means, what's mishafshef?
No.
You start rubbing it, okay? Even with a dry cloth afterwards. Aser, that's prohibited. Aval beged, but a clothing. Sheyeshalav lichluch. Aser afilu lishachshecho. You're not even allowed to rinse it, to soak it. Zeu kibuso, that's its washing. Ella mekancho bismartut bikal velo bedochak pen yischot. Okay. Rather, mekancho means you rub it with a smartut. What's a smartut? A rag. Lightly and not heavily, lest you come to squeeze it. I have no idea what this means. Okay? Then you have a stain on your clothing. Apparently, at least with a dry cloth, you can dab it just to try to minimize the dabbing with a dry cloth. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. When you look at the later poskim, they don't really want to go there. They're very much afraid of going there, what the Gemara allowed you to do.
If you take...
Oh, we'll get the paper towels in a second. I left that here for a reason.
Still, like a grape juice.
Yeah.
And you take... You know, you add a little bit of, you know, yet you spill accidentally the water on the top of it.
Oops. No. Remember that. What he just said. What did Eddie just say? He said, that's perfect. Great example. You have grape juice on the carpet. You're not allowed to spill the water. Oops. Why? You just learned. Because the whole reason you spill the water is to get the stain out. Shriyaso zehu kibuso. Right? That spilling of the water is the washing of the carpet. You know how to do that. Good question. Excellent question.
So, now, if you take the paper towel and put it onto the grape juice, you can literally lift up...
We'll talk about it. Excellent. Very good. I brought the paper towel for a reason. Okay. I'm back in the Shulchan Aruch. Hagar, Rama says, U'beged she'ein alav michluch, if a cloth is not dirty, mutal litein alav mayim mu'atim, v'lom rubi, come on, a little water on it, and not a lot, okay, if it's not dirty, right? Shema Yisrael, because if you put a lot on, maybe you'll squeeze it. V'yesh osrim b'chol inyan. And some prohibit that. In any case, some are not allowed. Look at the yesh osrim in Memchet in the Mishnah Berurah. See where it says Memchet? Yesh osrim. Shvirlu, they hold, demad aminan shriyatu zehu kibatan, right? Kibusan. They hold that the soaking is the washing. See where I say Memchet in the second column? Okay. I feel a baggage she'ain't a lovely chluch, even if it's not dirty. But lachain, I feel a bimu'atin, asur mishum kibus. You're not allowed to, I don't know, let's say you had a little water sprayer. You want to spray some water on your clothing, on a clean cloth. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? I don't know. I have no idea why you'd want to do that. You're not allowed to get it even a little wet. Okay? As we'll soon see, one second. Next, go to Yud. Says the Mechaber, Haroch es yada, look, you wash your hands. Tov le nagvam bekoach zu bazu, ulahashim mehem hamayim kefi yachalto, kodem sheyich kamechem b'mafa. He says, good idea. Shulchan Aruch says, good idea to dry your hands off beforehand. Well, before you dry them with a towel. Why? For the reason we just told you. Because, just to fulfill those opinions, that say you have to be careful about drying on a towel. Ramasha es hagah, he says, come on, some people say you don't have to worry about this. Because we don't say, in this case, right, I got my hands wet, I want to dry them. So is when I soak this towel, is that washing it or not? So Rama says, you know, some say you don't have to worry about that. That's not considered washing this towel. Okay? One second. The angel rap derech lichluch v'chein nohagin. Right? And that's how we behave. That's what we permit it. Okay? So you do not have to dry off your hands before you don't have to soak them. You don't have to do that. If you want, I mean, maybe Sephardim would have to do that. But you don't have Ashkenazim do not have to do that. You can dry your hands with a towel, not a problem at all. But I have to tell you the next example that the Shulchan Aruch gives you. He says, "V'lachem." Therefore, get ready for this. Mutar l'nagev yagav bebeged shehitil bo tinok mei raglayim. Okay, you can dry your hands. Does somebody want to help me translate that?
The coat of a baby?
Nah, not a coat. Ain't no coat. No, try again.
Oh, done.
Yeah.
Urinating.
Right. I'd say the baby urinating. So it stinks. Now, let's say you don't have a diaper cleaning or a service, and the smell is just brutal. So how do you get rid of that smell? Right? That's okay. That's all right. That's all right. How do you get rid of the smell? So he says one thing that they would do is they would wipe their hands after they washed on the diaper.
They have to wash again.
Okay. Kedei levatlam, because that would somehow dissipate the smell. She'ein zeh rak derech luchluch be'alma, because that was considered derech luchluch. So it's interesting that he allowed them to do something that they did on purpose in order to clean it in a way that was derech luchluch. Now, you think you have to wipe your hands again, but they didn't. Well, isn't urine sterile?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So, what's the problem? No problem at all. Okay. What? So, you know, I mean, they would. That's what do you do? You have a dirty diaper. How do you get rid of it on Shabbos? What's that?
You just throw it on the garbage.
Spoken like a spoiled 21st century American. Plastic, okay. What do you do before you have plastic? Take me back 100 years. 100 years.
I'll take you back about
100 years.
20 years ago.
Okay.
We used to have diapers.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? And you put them in a diaper. They would come once a week or twice a week.
Yeah, they probably would. I bet you they did have. I bet you they had.
Smell from ammonia.
Yeah, it was.
That's the way you did it.
I bet you they had, you know, back then they didn't have Tupperware. They had clay cheris. They had earthenware. Without a doubt, they must have had some for it. Because it would otherwise be brutal. You couldn't live on Shabbos. But probably, what if you needed it? What if you needed to use it again? Remember, the people were really, really poor.
Everything
doesn't dry. That's right. How many did they have? How many diapers did they have?
I hate to say it, but there was probably a time when they didn't put the diaper on the kid all the time.
Right, right.
And walked around, the kid walked around.
But I saw an article in the New York Times, you know, like 2 months ago. But that they toilet trained the kids at like 3 weeks or 3 months or something like that. I don't remember. But it was just some crazy thing. They said that in Africa, that's what they do. They just let them walk around like that because who can afford something like that?
Yeah, law from Raj.
Yeah.
They were talking about that.
That's what they did.
At 6 months.
They couldn't afford that.
And that was a very wealthy orphanage too. Yes. Right. Okay, turn to page 3, please. I just want to just we'll see the Chayei Adam because the Chayei Adam has a nice summary. The Chayei Adam lived. Chayei Adam. David, do you want to help me out here?
Early 19th century.
1800s. Right. So he had a very nice summary, and he summarizes. You see how he says what Shimanim from the Shulchan Aruch it is? So he summarizes in the Halachas of Shabbos, each Malacha. So he says, HaMechabes beged tzemer opishtim osharim minim derech kibus. If you wash any type of cloth, the washing way, chayav. You're obli chayav, that's a chayav a korban, and you violated the Oraisa of Shabbos. Velo nikra kibus, it's only called washing. Ela kemishav sheif, shaf echad al hasheni kidev chakosim. What's washing? Right, this is washing. This is how you wash something. You want to wash your tzitzis? That's how you wash it. You rub it. Okay? Vafa pishihi naki lagam, even if it's totally clean. Vashochei habeged, if you squeeze it, velo shisheif, and you didn't rub it, nami chayav. Shashchita u mecharche kibus. Because squeezing it out is also a part, and we're going to talk about shchita next week. That's what we're going to talk about. Shriyas abegid b'mayim. What happens if you soak it? Because shiyesh alav lichluch habinami kikibus b'chayav. If it's dirty, it's also a kibus. V'lachem, therefore, tinok shehishtin al habegid o shiyesh lichluch acher. So you see what problems they had. This is like, you know, the contemporary halachic work of his time. What do I do with my diapers on Shabbos? What do I do? So he says, im yushvok alav mayim chayav. If you pour water on it, you're not allowed to pour water. But you're allowed to wash your hands. Since there's only a little water on there, you're allowed to wipe your hands where the urine is.
Dekeman de kinuach yadayim hu bederech lichluch below bederech kavisha klal, since it's doing it in a dirtying way and not cleaning it. Vagam she'en ala ma yadayim rak ma'at ma'im, it's only a little bit of water. Lekulei alma lo aminan kazesh riyato zehu kibuso. Okay, so we see, so it's fascinating to see that the rabbis permitted wiping your hands on a towel, even though that really was, they were trying to get some smell out. They were trying to do something that would cleanse it. Somebody had a question. Sandy? Did you have your hands up? Somebody did. Oh, Eddie, sorry.
I think the USD they're talking about urine.
Yeah.
What about excrement?
No, I don't think that there would be any, that would never help, that you couldn't clean it for sure or not. What would that help?
I know it wouldn't help.
Right. Well, then you have to save it till after. I guess you have to save it till after Shabbos, and then you know have the kosher go and take it to the river. You think I'm kidding? You know, if you were lucky enough to have one. Okay. Skip to Gimel, please. Skip to Gimel. Okay. Im ein beged shum lichluch. If there's nothing dirty, yesh omin dafilu hachi shriato zehu kibusa l'chayah. And some say that shriato is what that the soaking is the washing. Some say, what is patur? You're not allowed to put water on cloth at all, because we're afraid that you will squeeze it. Okay. Therefore, one second. This is very important. I'm just going to do a little bit, don't worry. I spill water on the table. And I want to clean it up. Also, lekancho bebeged shemakbir alav. So I say, oh great, just like I had that problem. Well, what do you know? I've got this stain on the and I'm gonna clean it up, right? And it'll be fine. You know, I've got one of those. Ever see those like 100% polyester ties? Right, it's a perfect. I got a tie. I'll soak it up. And ain't that, you know, I'm just soaking it up, and then we're all set. No problem whatsoever. So he says, you're now allowed to do it with a cloth that you're makbin on. So I gave you really wacky examples. What about an apron? Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Right? So you're wearing an apron. Sometimes, instinctively, you'll just wipe something up with the apron. No? Mm-hmm. No? Yeah? Right? But the apron, you want to be clean. You shouldn't wipe things up with an apron.
Because they can get dirty. That's why you wear it, so you don't get your clothes
clean. Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay. One second. Okay, but he obviously though, but let's say a shmata. So the rule is a shmata, for example, you don't care if it gets wet or not. You're gonna throw it in the wash. You don't care if it gets dirty. So then you wouldn't be able to soak it up because you're right. That's also not derech lichluch. The only thing you couldn't do would be to soak it up in such a way you can't squeeze it. Obviously, so you put it on top. You don't want to squeeze it, but you can't put it. Let's say the stain, the water is so much, then. That it would soak the whole thing. That you would not be permitted to do. Why? What you do is squeeze it out. Right. So if you could get the whole thing, you could use a shmata.
Then you use more than one.
Yeah, you could use more than one. Sure, sure. If you could get the whole thing, you could use more. You could use it. But if it's a big spill, let's say your 3-year-old spills 64 ounces of apple juice all over your kitchen floor. I can't imagine that happening. You can, right? Okay. What?
You tip the whole bottle over.
So what do you do? It's very, very difficult. So you know, it's very difficult to do it in such a way. So we'll see you in a second. Okay. What's that? There's nothing you can do about the sticky on Shabbos, really. Almost nothing. I mean, how are you going to... Almost nothing I can really see. Okay. When liquid saturates, we're going to read, this is from Rabbi Ribbit. When liquid saturates a cloth, it has the effect of loosening soil and stains that are absorbed in the fabric.
Clean up the sticky units.
How are you going to do it?
Cloth you're soaking.
With water. Maybe the only way you could do it is to pour water on the linoleum and mish it around. Right. And how do you clean up the water?
Then you take a big towel.
Then you take a big towel and dump it on. The problem is soaking that towel would be a problem. It's a problem to soak the towel. You have to you'd have to use a lot of towels and do each one a little bit. That's what I would say.
Paper towel
and napkin. Just wait. Okay. When liquid saturates a cloth, there's the effect of loosening. I'm saving the best for last. Soil and stains that are absorbed in the fabric. Accordingly, the Talmud states that soaking a fabric in any clear liquid is malabing, even if nothing else is done, and even if the stain does not completely disappear as a result. This is known as sharia soaking. Examples of sharia, soaking, wetting, sprinkling, spraying. Don't do those. Okay. Some poskim rule that even wetting a clean fabric is forbidden, thus any additional rinsing or soaking brightens and improves the fabric somewhat. Example, one may not sprinkle water into a clean, wrinkled garment to restore a smooth appearance of the fabric. Right? I guess that's why you would spray like a shirt or something. I don't know. Whatever. The question is mainly academic because according to all views, there was at least a rabbinical ordinance prohibits wetting a garment or linen. Wetting a garment is forbidden because somebody might squeeze it. Turn to the next page, please. All right. Soaking clean fabrics. Some poskim rule that wetting even a clean fabric is prohibited because any additional rinsing or soaking brightens and improves the fabric somewhat. Again, the question is mainly academic because according to all views, there is a drabbanon prohibition that prohibits wetting of garments or linen. Wetting paper materials. This is where it gets very interesting. Some leading poskim rule leniently on use disposable paper materials with regard to malabain because these materials are not reusable because they tend to disintegrate when wet. They maintain that the prohibition of sharia in particular is not applicable to these materials because they are spoiled by wetness. A malacha malabain is essentially the restoration and general improvement of a reusable garment by cleansing it. Thus, the entire concept of malabain cannot apply to materials that are invariably ruined by the cleansing process. The rabbinical ordinance prohibiting any wetting of a garment or linen does not apply either, because there is no reason for concern that one may inadvertently squeeze out the water from a ruined, disposable material. Accordingly, napkins and paper toweling that have been cut before Shabbos may be wetted for the purpose of wiping a countertop or plastic tablecloth on Shabbos. However, the wet napkin should not be deliberately squeezed when wiping. I must tell you, this shocked me when I read it.
That if your tablecloth is sticky,
yes,
plastic, you can then take a paper tablecloth, a paper towel.
Is what it sounds like. So I got coffee. You got a coffee or tequila? Okay.
Wet it and wipe the table.
Right. So apparently, you can't soak it.
No.
Right. But you can. Right, got a little wet. I'll let it, you know, you can get it. I'm not allowed to squeeze it out, but if I want to do this in order to wipe up the table,
no, it wouldn't even have the table. Wouldn't even have to be wet.
I have to tell you, what is this based on? So it's based on turn to page 3. It's all based on 19C and footnote showing you this Idris Moshe. So when I saw this, I did what? Anybody know what I did when I saw this? Anybody want to guess what I did? I went to the source. Page 3. Source number 5. Anybody want to guess what I did when I saw this?
You read it and you saw it?
I read it.
You called Rabbi Shapter.
Close. I called a different rabbi. That's exactly what I did. Because it surprised me because I was always taught, whoa, 1 second, you can't squeeze out. What's the purpose of wetting the paper towel? You know, I don't want to get it too wet. Maybe I'm getting a little wet. So now it's a little wet. Okay, see how there's a little wet?
Yeah.
Right? What's the purpose of getting it wet?
So
it cleans better. Why does it clean better?
What you're saying is that you have to wet the paper towel a little before.
He's saying you could.
You don't have to.
No.
He's talking about wiping a countertop.
Right. Wiping up a countertop. He's saying, first of all, wiping up a spill, no problem whatsoever. Because we're not afraid that when you wipe up big spills with paper towels, we're not afraid you're gonna come to squeeze them out to use the water again. You know, it's dangerous to sit next to me. Those of you who are listening at home, you just have to be here. I can't really help you. Let's be honest. Although it is interesting, I remember way back when. Remember when they had the bounty commercials and Rosie would show the bounty? What did she say? She said, bounty is the greatest thing in the world because you could just squeeze it out and then she would just say, you know, oh, you have a great, you know, I don't even know if it's bounty, but listen, then I can use it again. I can soak it up again. And they would show you, like, she used to, you know, wash, like, you know, 30 cans with the one thing of bounty. I mean, Rosie, get real. Come on. You know, but that's not bad. It's really not bad. So let's look at, the quote is from Moshe Feinstein, Idris Moshe. Bedava lishros niyar b'mayim nekanea hasulchan ukedome. I'll translate. To soak paper in water to wash the table. Can I do that or not? Well, Lishro says to Moshe, niyar b'mayim nekaneach eis adavar. Okay? To soak something in water, to clean it. U'mashlichin l'ibur. And you throw it away. Pasher she'ein lasar. I just don't think it should be usher. D'lo shayach malabein d'niyar b'niyar ha'holech l'ibur. You can't say there's an issue of malabein. What's malabein? Malabein is eventually I want this thing to be clean. Even a smacha, we wash it. I want it to be clean. A paper towel, you don't want to be clean. Why?
You're not going
to wash it. You throw it away. But Abim Hunir, even if it stays whole, like we said, Lo Mishlabein B'mayim. Right? It does not become cleaner with water. Oh, this is not a tablecloth. It's a table. Tablecloth. Not a tablecloth. Right? But you know, I'm wiping the countertop. I mean, okay. Ukishoreu b'mayim lo yachus al hanir lahochi hamayim menu. You soak in the water. This is true. Most people don't do this with paper towels. You don't do that. What do you do? You chuck it. Right? That's exactly what you do. So no problem. It's better than a towel or a beged. Ha'asu litros al hachavis shemutar. Right? They used to have this towel that they placed on the chavis, on the whatever. Okay. She'ein ochoshes l'sachto. We're not worried about squeezing that. U'beniyar af bechol niyar ein ochoshes l'sachto. Okay. Any paper you're not going to squeeze out. The kol sekein kishaholech l'ibud al yedei mayim she'ein lachos b'shiyischol. You don't have to worry that you're going to squeeze it. That's what Moshe says. He says, oh, hold on. Ach ulai dami l'sfog. Maybe it's like a sponge. Shetarech lebeit achiza. Because it has a handle. B'shim shebegam b'mayim huschita d'mesarek. Remember I told you, but did I bring that sponge? I had a sponge here somewhere. Yeah, here. So remember we said a sponge. A sponge, I'm not trying to squeeze it out. But you're not allowed to use a sponge under no circumstances on Shabbos because this, I'm trying to, is mesarek, is dush. It's trying to get the water out of the sponge. So say, well, maybe, okay, maybe it's not meladein, Rabbi Moshe says, but maybe it's mefarik. Maybe it's threshing. Maybe it's trying to get the water out of the paper towel. He says, let me skip down. He says, mikol makom, nonetheless, b'tur v'shulchan aruch, they say, mashem mishum shchita de mefarik, hamayin shabo. Okay, one second. Here, see what it says, aval, the last word on the line, about 10 lines from the bottom, aval, I'm just going to skip in some of these details, aval, you see it, aval, the last word on the line, aval mistaber, I think, seems to me, gibinir ein lahash shirze shchita. Listen to what he says, I don't think that's shchita. Shchita of squeezing out of dash. Dilo nivla betolcha niyar. He says that unlike a sponge, the water doesn't become soaked in the paper. The Asha al Kopanim Yesh Lasa Amid Rabbanim says even though Zubin to be Osir de Rabbanan, nonetheless, the Ha Gam Bishar Devadi Lo Nivla Asir de Rabbanan. Some say that it's also Asir de Rabbanan. Mikom Bakom Kevin the Ein of Betoch Kli. It's not in a utensil. The Gam Ein Derech Lishchot Mayim in Yar Klal. People don't squeeze water out of the paper. Lo Letzorach Hamayim Velo Lelamalavim. You don't squeeze it out for the water. Remember, what's threshing? Taking that tangerine and squeezing out the juice. Because you want what's inside. When you soak up something with the paper, do you want what's inside? You don't want. When you soak it up with a sponge, you want the water inside to come out. That's what the sponge is for. But with a paper towel, you don't want the water inside. Plus, you don't want to do that. Yesh lahatir. So what Moshe says, first of all, it's very interesting. He says, the water isn't soaked into the paper. So I've come to wonder, it just seems very strange. What? I talked to the postage that I was talking to. I said, you know, do you allow people to squeeze out to wet paper towels? And he said, generally not. So I told him the tshuva, and you gotta love technology. He didn't have any Gris Moshe on him, so I scanned it in and emailed it to him. I scanned it in anyway. No. So then he said, you know, he sent it back. He said, okay, you know, Rabbi Moshe says it. So he said, he thinks, it's interesting, I'll just tell you. He says, Yesh lahatir. B'hachanami katarti b'tilusa, he says, the gam efshar, it's also possible, leka psik resha. Remember what a psik resha is? Psik resha is if something will definitely happen. Okay? There's not a psik resha b'niyar with paper. She'ein mechazkin b'chazaka. You don't hold it, you're not squeezing. El nefisha mizdamein, whatever comes out, shevale ein la'asur. So it seems that Ramosha felt that what shchita is really squeezing out. But the water that comes out when you're wiping down the table, that's not water that's squeezing out. You're not using it for the water. What you're doing, I guess he felt, is to increase or decrease the friction on the table in order to allow you to clean it better. That was the water on the surface of the towel, but it wasn't necessarily the water that was squeezed. You're not trying necessarily to squeeze it out. When I read this, I also had the feeling What were the paper towels like in, I don't know when he wrote this, 1955, 1960, 1965?
They weren't much. Different.
They weren't
oh,
much.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. They were thicker. I will just say, it seems very clear that Rav Moshe is Mekir. So, and it also seems clear then that Rav Moshe would say it didn't matter if you put the water in or somebody else did. Now you can't, by the way, pull those apart. But assume that they are pulled apart. By the way, feel this. How does it feel?
What?
It's wet, but it's damp. It's not wet. It's not wet. You can't. There's nothing in it.
Doesn't it seem that according to
Rav Moshe? One second. Now go back to page 4. Go back to page 4. Accordingly, last napkins and paper toweling may be wetted for the purpose of wiping a countertop or plastic tablecloth on Shabbos. However, the wet napkin should not be deliberately squeezed when wiping. So I can't see a difference, according to this, between wiping a towel or wiping a baby's bottom. I don't see a difference. So all I'll say is, there are poskim that are machmir. But if you want to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was a pretty big rabbi. And that's all I'll tell you. You know, and so are you happy this week? You got something good. Yeah.
If you pre-pull them,
you could just get a little wet. Rav Moshe says you could get it a little wet on Shabbos and then do this. That's what he said. The paper towel, by the way, you can't do this. You can't cut on the crease. But assuming they're pre-cut. By the way, I'll just tell you something. We have children in the house, and I got this from my sister. In the bathroom that everybody uses, or whatever, the public bathroom downstairs, we bought at Costco a whole box, a case of Seafoam towels. And especially in the wintertime, we all use the paper towels, because otherwise, God only knows what kind of germs congregate on the towels. So, what? Health reasons. Right. Yeah. You can buy them in Costco. So we just put them out. Well, you don't understand. You can buy them at McCaffrey's, can't you?
No.
Oh, you can't buy them? No, all right. Oh, anyway. So you could, you could get it a little wet and use it to wipe up your plastic tablecloth or your table, and you felt that that's not shechita, that the water there is on the surface of the towel. It's not necessarily soaked in, but you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't deliberately squeeze. Because that would be, then you're really sorry. I just did. You could, but you say you shouldn't. Don't hold it too strong that you're going to squeeze something out of it. And that's clearly what Moshe says. There are definitely poskim that disagree, especially modern day poskim, who say, no, you can't do this. And I understand the logic very strongly. But I also want to say, it seems to me that if you want to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein, you got a pretty, pretty big name behind you.
Use the hot water from the hot water pot to wet the
Why not?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. And,
you know, it's not a clean sheet, you know.
Yeah, but you're
not cooking the paper towel.
Right.
You know, I don't see why not.
No,
not on a towel, remember. You're not allowed to, on this towel, no, remember, on this towel, only on the paper. Right, this is garbage. This you're not allowed to do. This will be a Dioraisa. This is Mutter Lagam.
What about
the counter?
If you want to be Machler for your family, I welcome you. Do that. I understand. Okay, next week we'll talk about squeezing. We're going to talk about shechita and all the ramifications there.